Hope you guys are having a good evening and you've had a good week and that things are going well. I think that this was the first week of actual class, and that means that it's still doable. I guess there's no assignments yet. There's no midterms. So still take it a bit easy. I hope everyone's kind of, well, at least going to class, getting ready for the rest of the semester. This is a good time to make sure you do all the readings so that you're ready for the examinations and the hard part. So although it still doesn't have to be so, it's not so challenging, and I guess school wouldn't be that time consuming right now, it's still a good idea to stay on top of things. And I hope people are managing with that, and that, well, they also have time to for themselves and for their friends and to enjoy this year's winter and winter activities that are possible to do this year. So not a lot of skiing, not a lot of skating, not a lot of skiing mostly, and anything outdoorsy like that. And I mean, and that's a shame. It feels like April, but we gotta remember that it's still January. I don't know if it's gonna get worse. I don't know if we're gonna get any real winter and any like January and February weather, if that's gonna be a thing this year, or we're just not gonna have that again. Like, I don't know if it's only this year or never again. So that's been an interesting start to the first year, to interesting start to this year, 2023. I want to thank you for coming, tuning in tonight to this program. And tonight we will be discussing the works of Bob Dylan, the part two from last week. So this is a bit of a continuation because there was more to say on the subject than was discussed last week. And seeing that Dylan is a singer-songwriting legend, so that was a good introduction to Bob Dylan and his works. I hope you appreciated that. Bob Dylan is synonymous with names like such as Johnny Cash, Leonard Cohen, Neil Young, and the Beatles. Artists people have heard of, but don't really know them by their music. They know them by their old-fashioned reputation. You know, they must have been important to your parents' generation or your grandparents' generations, like Bob Dylan and the Beatles. That was like 60 years ago. But who's Bob Dylan nowadays? I mean, he must be pretty old. And doesn't really work well with the current taste in music. The song that you just heard, it's enjoyable. It's a nice, like, it's enjoyable, and I can't really find too much fault in it, because it's musical. There's a lot of components to it that makes it a good song. But how does it work well into a playlist? Like, how would you go about, how would you listen to that, you know, right now in 2023 or in this decade or over the past 15 years? It's like music like that, where, like, it doesn't really pop up anymore. So if you don't know him, I mean, that's entirely valid. Dylan is a folk songwriter, not a club songwriter, not a hip hop songwriter or DJ for that matter. None of those music tastes or genres coincide with this. So it's fairly obvious to say that Bob Dylan's music is too old to really listen to at this point. It's not relevant. It's not our taste. But what about the music that he recently released? How can you really say that it's too old to enjoy when it just came out 2 years ago? If you want to take that perspective and say that Bob Dylan is, I mean, it's from your parents' generation, he's an old guy. I mean, what are you going to say to the fact that he just released a new album in 2020? So here is a record from 2020, Bob Dylan's False Prophet from his album Rough and Rowdy Ways. Please enjoy this selection. So that was a song that, well, it just came out. Came out 3 years ago. And it, I think it was enjoyable. I like that song particularly. And it's something that, you know, you could listen to. I can kind of see it like working on a road trip. It could go with, like, if you listen to rock, it would fit in. It doesn't sound, it's not too folky. Like, I think the first song I played, which was more like harmonica based and had like its own particular sound. This one was more, yeah, it felt like, you know, I think, rock or, something like that. Something, it could like assimilate with like other songs that I think are listenable, these days. So that's Bob Dylan's latest work. One thing to point out would be, his voice is, I don't know if he does it on purpose. I think that might just be his voice, but it sounds a lot older than it needs to be. And that's kind of his style. It's always been like that, even when he was like a kid and he looked like, he looked very young. He looked like a boy when he started working, when he started releasing music, that is. His voice has always been just like too old to fit the body. And who knows? And like, I don't, and that's, well, that's his style. It's not, I think it adds to like the production and him as an artist, and it goes well with who he is. But you can kind of understand why people nowadays don't, I guess, wouldn't listen to a whole release or a production or a playlist full of songs with a voice like that. So another dimension to appreciating Dylan's work would be, if you can't really appreciate him because his songs are too folky or his voice is like deteriorating and it sounds like, not a voice that you typically would like to listen to, it doesn't sound like it's not really your taste, then maybe a good way to appreciate his work would be through covers of Bob Dylan songs. So this way people can appreciate Dylan's work with sounds that are more familiar and more in line with modern taste. A cover of Bob Dylan's 1997 song Make You Feel My Love was covered in 2008 by a relatively unknown Adele at the time. Obviously, she's pretty famous now, and that song was relevant to both her success as it was a breakout single from her first album, and then it also helped place Dylan in contemporary culture. Some kind of artistic relationship between, Adele's success and the previous success of Dylan that kind of helped her. It got her a breakout single, and that's part of why she's famous. So please take a minute to enjoy the following selection. You Make Me Feel My Love by Adele. Well, you wouldn't really guess that that's a Bob Dylan song because there's it doesn't sound anything like him. Adele's arrangement of this song is, I mean, she makes it her own, and it's, I mean, it looks like, it sounds like it's been written by her. The music, it sounds like it's coming out from her. It doesn't really feel like a cover, but that's what a good cover is. She does a tribute, I mean, so the lyrics of that song is written by Bob Dylan, and I guess the kind of the flow of the song is, I mean, she's following Dylan's work and what he did with it, but she added, like, I don't know if I heard violins in there, and there was somewhat of, like, I don't know if it was, like, a duet, or if it was, like, she recorded herself. I feel like I heard two voices at some point. So, I mean, that's a neat touch. That's obviously just her and her arrangement. And then her voice is not deteriorating or in pain. So it kind of sounds like more, I don't know, youthful and relatable and jovial. And just it produces an overall better experience than Bob Dylan would do. Not to really put hate on Dylan, but to say that, I mean, Adele did a really good job covering that track. A lot of Dylan's work is, I mean, he's had a 60-year long career, so a lot of his work is what, well, sometimes forgotten. A lot of it's because some of his songs can be, yeah, I guess they might not have anything special. They might be too poetic, or they just might not be, they might just not get a lot of success. So, not sure about this, this song, how well it did overall, but when Adele covered it, obviously, I think, did it better. I wanted to find a more recent cover of a Dylan song, because the Adele cover was from 2008, and that's starting to be a bit dated. I mean, in 2008, most of us were in the early years of elementary school. I'm thinking like grade 1 to 3. Some listeners of this program were not even in grade 1 at the time. So it feels old. I mean, 2008 was a long time ago, all things considered. So what is an album of 2008 got to do with this culture? I mean, is that enough to say Bob Dylan is... has a presence in this culture? I mean, Adele is a contemporary artist, and who, like, I mean, because everyone knows who she is, so she's popular, she's relevant, she's got fans, and you can hear her on the radio, on playlists, on Spotify, so she, so even though 2008 was a while back, it's still contemporary, it still shows a bit of Dylan in the current culture and how he's affected it. But apparently there doesn't seem to be any covers of a Bob Dylan song since. At least not one made by a popular artist with a meaningful fan base that has made it into the charts. So nothing over the past 15 years. It's surprising, but that's an idea there. If you want to be relevant, do a Bob Dylan cover. No one has done that for a while, so it would be interesting to see what people can make of a Dylan song these days. What would that sound like? And who, I mean, yeah, what type of genre would that be? Would it be like a pop cover? That seems most likely. Or like an indie rock type of thing. Maybe like a direct cover, just someone trying to, just someone releasing, just like basically a literal translation of the song, or maybe a more interpretive cover that takes the song and kind of makes it sound different, maybe reimagines it a certain way. That would not be too, I mean, it wouldn't be too far-fetched. It'd be something interesting to see, because although Dylan's music may not be everyone's choice in taste, his lyric is pretty good. And if you can take that and rearrange it into whatever you see fit. I mean, go ahead. But okay. Dylan may be old, and he may not be breaking the charts with folk music as he used to do in the 60s and the 70s, but live shows are a different matter. Different than the charts. Successful artists don't just get attention over media platforms. They get sold-out ticket shows to every city they perform. I was surprised to find out that Bob Dylan still tours and has been touring consistently since 1988 until 2019. Every single year. Yeah, that's what he's been doing. He's been calling it, he's been touring consistently for 30 years, calling it the never-ending tour. I mean, that's kind of unheard of. I mean, I think that's kind of crazy. But who does a never-ending tour? I mean, every tour comes to an end, and that's kind of part of the cycle. That's part of what, it's part of it. If everyone, knowing that there's like a limited number of shows, I mean, that determines locations, tickets, prices, and attendance. If there's an unlimited supply of shows, I mean, wouldn't that be kind of a, that would lose like appeal and value, and people just wouldn't be so motivated to show up to all these things. But Bob Dylan is committed to this never-ending tour idea. He was committed for at least 30 years. Things had to change a bit in the pandemic, but I'm sure he's very disappointed about that and wanted to keep his tour going for another 10 or 20 years, depending on how long he has to live. Which, by the sound of it, doesn't sound like it's going to be too long, but I don't know, right? That's I'm not some kind of economist. I'm not a producer for high budget tours, so don't take my side on this. If it worked for Dylan, then let's consider this option of never ending tours as a viable option. Are his tours even good? They're not the most high budget performances. I would picture some kind of like low budget performance in the park, but with a significant number of people gathered around. I think he does like auditoriums, concert halls as well, but probably to a lesser degree than his shows in the 70s and in the heyday. When rock and folk and all that was popular. So, it does keep Bob busy, and he certainly enjoys himself. So, here's a clip from the performance of the year 2000. Before we get into it, I think that,
the fact that he's still performing means that he is attracting some kind of crowd, and there is some kind of market out there for Bob Dylan's work and his continuous live work. So take a minute to enjoy this production. This is a clip from the year 2000. Of Bob Dylan's never-ending tour, live at what I think is Newcastle in England. So if there's any Bob Dylan fans among you, or anyone interested in, became interested in this, I don't know, due to the show, if it is, well, I mean, that's great, that's fantastic, show's accomplished success. But if there's anyone, you know, interested in Bob Dylan and would like that kind of, likes this kind of music, I'm sure you're gonna make sure to check out his next tour dates, because I think he's gonna be back on them soon. and he tours around North America and I think around the world. So he comes to Toronto, if he comes around here, likely be Toronto. So that would be something to check out. Would based off that clip that we've just listened to, I mean, would that kind of show sell any tickets? I mean, would that, do you imagine that people would go to see that? I mean, would that, would anyone be, what would be the, like, what type of people would show up to that? And, I mean, would it sell? What do you think? It's possible. It's possible, but that's something to think about. If Dylan did come to these parts, would you go and see him? Why would you go? And what would you expect from it? Well, Dylan's work is poetry. At the heart of it, storytelling, wordplay, descriptions are the main focus. Then it's the musical arrangements, which are harmonica and guitar based, and then later mixed with other instruments, traditional ones such as drums, electric, and a backing band. But also some intriguing instruments. Just something out of the ordinary, like a violin. But a lot of his songs can drag on when he focuses on just the wordplay and the descriptions. Because he forgets all about the music, and then it's just line after line descriptions about things that you literally have no idea what they're about. If you were able to catch on with any of the tracks played today, and I would hint towards the False Prophet, which was the song that he released in 2020, his latest release. That type of song there, well, aside from being a good mix of lyrics and music, it was wasn't a bad song. There was a lot of lyrics in there that is just poetic and wordplay in nature. And some of his songs are dedicated to just that. He forgets to play an instrument, and it becomes all about what he's saying, and it sounds like a journal entry that he decided to read out loud, and I don't know about songs like that. If you're interested in a song about something you will never understand, you will never understand why he wrote it and what it's about, I recommend listening to some of the songs from the album Desire, which are stories that seem to not lead anywhere. Maybe that's just me. I like that album very much for other reasons, but there are songs in there that, and a huge percentage of his catalog is, in fact, songs that you wouldn't listen to on a regular basis because you don't know what they're about. They're very poetic. So, yes, he's a poet, and yes, that's part of his appeal, but he's a musician as well, and there are songs that highlight his musical ability just as much as his lyrical. And those are probably his better songs. So please enjoy this selection from Bob Dylan's catalog, from Bob Dylan's classics. Songs that really make him famous, the songs that his standout songs, the ones that will endure. Not just because of the reputation, but because I think they incorporate a good mix between lyrical and musical talent that can be enjoyable 60 years into the future. That's the episode for tonight. I hope you had the chance to really appreciate some great works of poetry tonight on this radio hour, and you've learned something about Bob Dylan, maybe even appreciated one of his songs or two. This is really the end. I appreciate all the listeners and anyone tuning in from home. Thank you, everyone, and have a good night.